Mole's Winter Welcome. Mole and Rat were returning home across country after a long day's hunting with Otter. They plodded along steadily and silently, Rat walking a little way ahead. So he didn't notice when Mole stopped dead in his tracks, as though he'd been given an electric shock. Mole's nose searched hither and thither, and again caught the smell that had so strongly moved him. And now he knew what it meant. Home. His old home that he had hardly thought of since the day he first found the river and met Rat. Now how clearly it stood before him, telling him sorrowfully that it wanted him back.
Ratty, called Mole joyfully, come back. It's my home, my old home. I've just smelt it close by here, really quite close, and I must go to it. I must.
But Rat was too far away to hear Mole clearly.
Mole, we mustn't stop now, really, Rat called back. It's late, and the snow's coming on again, and I'm not sure of the way. Come on, quick, there's a good fellow.
And he pressed on without waiting for a reply. Poor Mole stood alone on the path, his heart torn asunder, and a big sob gathered somewhere low down inside him. But never for a moment did he dream of abandoning Rat. The smells from his old home pleaded and whispered, but he dared not stay any longer within their magic circle. So he followed in the track of the unsuspecting Rat. After some time, Rat stopped and said kindly, "Look here, Mole, old chap, you seem dead tired. We'll sit down here for a minute." Mole sank down forlornly on a tree stump, and the sob he had fought with so long rose up and up and forced its way out, and then another and another and others thick and fast until he was crying freely and openly. Rat was astonished and dismayed at Mole's grief and said very quietly and sympathetically, "What is it, old fellow? What's the matter?" Eventually, Mole sobbed brokenly.
"I know it's a shabby, dingy little place. Not like your cozy quarters at Riverbank, but it was my own little home. And I went away and forgot all about it. And then suddenly I smelt it and I wanted it. And when you wouldn't turn back, Ratty, and I had to leave it. I thought my heart would break. Oh, dear, oh, dear."
Rat said nothing, but patted Mole gently on the shoulder, waiting for his sobs to die down. Then he remarked carelessly, "Well, now, we'd better go and find that home of yours, old fellow." And he set off back the way they had come.
"Oh, come back, Ratty, do," cried Mole, hurrying after him. "It's too dark, and the snow's coming, and I never meant to let you know I was feeling that way about it. And think of Riverbank and your supper."
"Hang Riverbank and supper too," said Rat.
Taking Mole's arm, he marched him back to the part of the path where his friend had scented signals from home. Mole stood a moment rigid, while his uplifted nose felt the air. The signals were coming through again. Like a sleepwalker, he crossed a dry ditch, scrambled through a hedge, and nosed his way over a field. Suddenly, he dived down a tunnel, Rat still following close behind. It seemed a long time to Rat before the passage ended and he could stand up and shake himself. Mole struck a match, and by its light they saw that they were standing in an open space opposite Mole's little front door, with Mole End painted over the bell pull. Along one side of the clearing was a skittle alley, and in the middle a small round pond containing goldfish. From the centre of the pond rose a fanciful creation topped by a large silvered glass ball which reflected everything all wrong and had a very pleasing effect. Mole's face beamed at the sight of these objects so dear to him, and he hurried Rat through the door of his home, lit a lamp, and looked around. Dust lay thick on everything, and the neglected house looked altogether cheerless and deserted. Mole collapsed on a chair, his nose in his paws.
Oh, Ratty, why did I bring you to this poor, cold little place when you might have been at Riverbank by a blazing fire?
But Rat took no notice. He was running here and there, inspecting rooms and cupboards, lighting lamps and candles, and sticking them up everywhere.
What an excellent little house this is! So compact, so well planned. We'll make a jolly night of it, you'll see. The first thing we want is a good fire. I'll see to that. You get a duster, Mole, and try and smarten things up a bit.
Mole roused himself and dusted and polished away heartily, while Rat soon had a cheerful blaze roaring in the fireplace.
Now, come with me and let's see what we can find for supper.
After hunting through every cupboard and drawer, they found a tin of sardines, a box of ship's biscuits, nearly full, a sausage, and four bottles of beer.
There's a banquet for you, observed Rat as he arranged the table. I know some animals who'd give their ears to be sitting down to supper with us tonight.
He had just got to work with the tin opener when they heard noises like the scuffling of small feet in the gravel outside and a confused murmur of tiny voices.
Now, all in a line. Hold the lantern up a bit, Tommy. No coughing after I say 1, 2, 3.
It must be the field mice, said Mole. They go round carol singing every year before Christmas, and they used to come to Mole End last of all for hot drinks and supper.
Let's have a look at them, cried Rat, jumping up and flinging open the door.
There stood about 8 or 10 mice, sniggering a little and sniffing and wiping their noses on their coat sleeves. Then their shrill little voices rose up, singing one of the carols they had learnt from their fathers.
The stars in the heavens look down where he lay.
When the singers had finished, they glanced shyly at each other, bashful but smiling.
Very well sung, boys, cried Rat eagerly. Now come along in by the fire, all of you, and have something hot.
Yes, come along, field mice, cried Mole. This is quite like old times.
Then he suddenly plumped down on a seat near to tears.
Oh, Ratty, we've nothing to give them.
You leave all that to me. Here, you with the lantern, come here. Tell me, are there any shops open at this time of night?
Why, certainly, sir,
replied the field mouse respectfully.
At this time of year, our shops keep open till all sorts of hours.
Then off you go at once and get me...
Much muttered conversation followed, and finally there was a chink of coins passing from paw to paw. The field mouse hurried off with his lantern. The rest of the field mice all perched in a row on the bench and toasted their chilblains in front of the fire, while Mole made each of them recite the names of younger brothers and sisters who were as yet too young to go out carol singing.
Brenda, Andrew, Richard.
Rat, meanwhile, busied himself with brewing mulled ale, and soon every field mouse was sipping and coughing and choking somewhat on the warming mixture. At last, the field mouse with the lantern appeared, staggering under the weight of a loaded basket. In a few minutes, supper was ready, and Mole took the head of the table, watching his little friend's beaming faces. As they ate, the field mice told him all the local news and answered the hundreds of questions asked. Then, at last, they clattered off, showering Christmas wishes as they went, their pockets stuffed with treats for their little brothers and sisters at home.
Bye-bye.
Then Rat said, with a tremendous yawn, Mole, old chap, I'm ready to drop. Is that your bunk on that side? Very well, then, I'll take this. What a fine little house this is. Everything's so handy. He clambered onto his bunk, rolled himself in the blankets, and fell fast asleep. The weary mole soon had his head on his pillow, too. But before he closed his eyes, he let them wander round his old room, resting on familiar and friendly things that glowed in the firelight. He didn't for a moment want to abandon his new life in the world outside, but it was good that he had come back to his own little home, which had given him such a splendid Christmas welcome.